Greetings, my soul family out there. You are listening to Beyond the Matrix. This is a program that asks you, invites you, begs you to get out of the box of conventional thought and soar with the eagles out there in the free thought zone. And we've been doing a really good job of that. I'm so proud of you. And so honored to be able to bring you some of the great minds that are doing just that. Tonight is another one of those major encounters we're going to have. But before I bring him on, I've got a few messages for you. You know how I feel about the whales and the dolphins and what's being done to them. Don't want to beat this into your heads, but I really want your help. As I have told you, many of you have heard my appeal. The Denmark is calling for another 50 humpback whales to be slaughtered. And this can't be. And you can help by sending an email to the Prime Minister at, take this down, STM, as in Mary, at STM.DK. Please send a message and tell this Prime Minister that the whales are our music. The whales are the life of the ocean. We don't need to slaughter any more animals. We need to help them. Again, the email is STM. At STMDK, sorry, STM.DK. Please take 2 seconds of your time, if you care about these beings and the light they bring to our world, to send him an email and voice your opinion. We must use our golden throats and voice our opinions and get into the action zone to help those who cannot speak for themselves, okay? I'm counting on you to do that and support the effort to make this man understand. But this is not the way. Okay, that's my spiel for the moment. I can't wait. I just can't wait to bring him on. You all know who I'm talking about. My guest today is Drumvalo Melchizedek, our whole great spirit. Hi, Drumvalo.
Hi. Good morning,
I'm
Patricia.
So delighted you're here. I know that you don't do that very often, so it's all the more special that you've come to Beyond the Matrix. And we're going to be talking, boy, we're going to have to talk about your previous work, of course, but we're going to talk about Serpent of Light Beyond 2012, published by Wiser Books, another big, important book for you amongst your many, and I have read it. We have so many similar experiences and so much to share.
Well,
so, let's start out by just updating for those of you, if there's anyone out there that has not heard of Drumvalo. You'll want to investigate his work with the Flower of Life, the Merkaba. These are all terms that he's brought to our consciousness. And we won't spend much time on that because we've got hours and hours of conversation about this new work. Drumvalo, where do we start?
Well, I don't know.
At the beginning. Your book, okay, the title is Serpent of Light Beyond 2012, and the subtitle, The Movement of the Earth's Kundalini and the Rise of the Female Light. And, you know,
we might have to go and try a new connection. We have a bad connection with your guest, so I'm going to pull your guest off the air right now.
Okay, we have a little flicker in our connection, so we're going to fix that. So while my producer Don is getting that fixed, I will keep talking, which I do so well. So I was introducing Drumvalo's work, this new one, Serpent of Light, big book. So many people are reading this. It's not unusual to be sitting on an airplane and see somebody next to you reading it. And he's going to be talking today with me about the great shift in the Kundalini energy of Gaia, our planet Earth. It's so important for us to always contemplate that our planet is a living, conscious being. And like us, she has activations and energy shifts. And this coincides, according with Drumvalo's work and many other master teachers, with our entrance into the 2012 paradigm. I think it's important to remember that no date is fixed in stone and that we don't have to hook ourselves completely to the date as much as consider the transition. We are in it already. Have we got him back? We're still working on that line. You know, there's a lot of storms out there. Electrical storms.
Yeah, we just had all electricity shut off.
Happening in our atmosphere and interfering with our toys and our tools. We got him back?
I think I'm here.
Oh, okay, there he is.
Can you hear me?
All right, well, Don, turn up, please, jump a little, because I don't hear him very well, and we will get on with the discussion of the book. So I was just introducing people to the concept, Drumvelo, considering and contemplating Earth as a living conscious being, and she too has... you know, Drumvelo, it's no surprise, we've got some serious energy here.
Well, about 2 minutes before you called, lightning hit right nearby and blew the whole system up. And
I've got lightning here too. Could it be our electric personality?
Yes. Anyway, yeah.
Well, our producer's working on adjusting the sound, so if all of you will bear with us, because sound will not defeat our intention.
We will get through this one way or the other.
There we go. Got it?
Is it better?
Yeah, good. Okay, as I was saying, I was introducing people to the concept of Earth Gaia being a living being, having her energy fields, having her chakra points on the planet, and how so many of us are spiritual people are going to these points because, of course, we're there to receive information and energy, and also because we're there to assist her and to bring love and healing into those power points. And you are certainly doing that in your myriad journeys around this great planet and, let's say, through the galaxy.
Well,
so let's talk about the basic, the overall overriding theme of this book, Serpent of Light, the shifting of Earth's Kundalini energy. And can you give us a little insight into how the book came about?
Well, actually, for a long time, I was not allowed to even talk about it, either publicly or to any way at all. And then after, many years later, I mean, this started in 1984, 5, somewhere in there. And then recently, in about 2006, my spiritual teachers, who are indigenous people, then told me that I should write about this, and which was kind of a shock, because actually there are thousands of people on Earth that know about this, but they're almost all indigenous people. And they said, no, you do this. And so I did. And it was funny because I kind of felt like, well, everybody knows about this. But then as I started putting it together, I realized really hardly anyone does. What it is...
I need for you to speak closer into the microphone and, or to the phone until we get a better balance on sound, because I'm having difficulty hearing you.
Okay, does that help a little bit?
Oh, much better there.
I've got my phone cupped in my hand here.
Good. When you speak about the indigenous people, are you working with specific... I know you're very connected to the Mayans, as am I, but you're working with indigenous people all over the planet.
Yes, the Mayans are one of them, but there are many, many others that are at least as important. Though some of them nobody even knows about, but they are still, they're part of this matrix of everything that's going on around the Earth that's bringing this new consciousness to the Earth. Without the indigenous people, we wouldn't be able to do this. We aren't capable of doing this by ourselves. We don't have enough consciousness to be able to do it. We need them. And we also need them in ways that nobody, hardly anyone, understands. I'm actually I'm beginning a whole new program that will air on July 29th globally on the internet to explain this to the world, why our ancestors and the indigenous people are so important. But without them, the whole Earth would die. This is my opinion. We would never make it. Our consciousness is not sustainable.
Generally speaking, we are so detached from the Earth that the indigenous ones have been able to hold the memory, hold the vibrations, prayer, sound, things that we are relearning now.
Well, they have memories that go back a very long ways. The Mayan memory,
exactly.
And the Mayans themselves, and this is right from the head of the Mayan councils and everything, and I'm talking right with them. They remember everything going back a little more than 26,000 years. So they've been here at least that long. And the Waitaha, who I work with, have full memory going back a little over 60,000 years. The Waitaha can actually, some of them, the elders, can actually repeat their entire lineage, mother, father, grandfather, grandmother, all the way back for 60,000 years. And
I remember when we talked earlier and you told me that, and it was beyond my comprehension to imagine that a person can name. You said that they can actually go back by memory, right?
And the names are really long. they're much.
Do you think that they had, much greater lifespans back thousands of years ago? If you have to divide this by an average lifespan of 60 years, it's beyond mind-boggling.
It was longer then, but most of the people are not too concerned about that I'm talking about. They understand why we've dropped down, and we keep dropping lower. We think we're getting better, but we're really not. We used to be, all of my parents lived to be over 100 years old. Every single person in my lineage, except for one, was 97, but all the rest of them were 105, 110, 120 years old. And,
well, that's good. We're going to have you around for going through 2012 and beyond.
Yeah. But
you said that they did not allow you to bring this information forward, but that now they have told you that you can go ahead. And
well, they told me to do it. So I wrote the book. Now, this is what's interesting is that I wrote this book, and I turned it over to my publisher in June of 2007. Well, in July of 2007, the head of the Mayan nation, Don Alejandro Cerrillo Perez, who is the, to explain who this man is, there are 440 tribes in the Mayan nation in Mexico, Belize, and Guatemala, and each one of them has an elder that has been elected to that tribe, and all those 440 elected elders are the members of what is called the National Mayan Council of Elders of Guatemala, and then they elect one member, and that's who Don Alejandro is, and he's a 13th generation Mayan shaman, so he knows more about the Mayan prophecy calendar and everything that they are involved in, probably more than anybody alive. And so when he came to Sedona, where I live, he asked for a meeting. And in that meeting, there were basically two things he wanted. He wanted to have, according to the Mayan calendar, there had to be a group of people, of exactly 60 people, who represented the world. And so he asked me to get these people together. Now, the reason we did it was because they were to literally be the world, because the Mayan calendar says that the world would be watching when the Mayan nation began to reconstruct their knowledge, their wisdom, their memories, and their experiences, everything that has happened to them over the last 26,000 years. And so I showed up in Guatemala City with these 60 people. They were from all five continents and from 23 nations. And we began this journey, which was incredible, through ceremony constantly at different places and in different ways to fulfill the Mayan prophecy. But while we were in there, while we were traveling and doing what he asked us to do and doing these ceremonies, he began to tell us what the Mayan prophecy was and parts of it. Now, it is only part of it has been released, and the really important part he hasn't released yet, but he's talked to me about it. And most of the world only hears the prophecy that there is 2012 is doomsday, that the world ends. And he kind of goes along with that in the idea that specifically what it is there's a physical pole shift of the earth that he says is going to take place, and that it will take place sometime between any minute and the next about 5 years. This is his.
So what did you say that was? Because I didn't hear you well. A physical process?
It's a physical pole shift.
Pole shift, okay.
The actual earth the axis of the Earth will rotate to another location. And
what will happen when that happens, according to the Mayan prophecy?
Well, he says that the old, you have to understand the cycles and what the cycles are. You know, when you look at the Mayan calendar and it's just a wheel, and you think of time, I mean, like if we look down at our watch and we see it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, we don't think usually that what that is, it has to do with cycles that are going on, the rotation of the Earth, and there's all kinds of cycles around the Earth that we're not aware of. Most people are not. And one of these cycles is called the precession of the equinox, and that's a little less than a 26,000-year cycle, which happens to be ending exactly on December 21st, 2012. That's according to science. And then there is another cycle the Mayans are involved in, which is 5,200 years long, 5,200 years. And if you multiply that by 5, you get 26,000. And so that major cycle is also ending on December 21st, 2012. And
what does the number five represent in that process of multiplying out?
Well, it's just a pentagon. In terms of geometry, that's all it is. It's a pentagon.
I knew it.
And it only links to this other cycle once during the entire time. It doesn't touch the cycle except once every 26,000 years. It's a little less than that. It's 25,771.5 years to be exact. These cycles are tied not only to the time and everything that we think of in the normal ways, but they're also tied to consciousness itself. You might say the cosmic DNA, this is how they look at it, there is an unfoldment of events that is taking place by not only the cycles of the Earth, but all the cycles that are going on in all the galaxies everywhere. But in human life, there are certain cycles that when they come together at certain times, then we change. We become something different. And this is what they're about to tell us, that yes, there is going to be a pole shift, which will mean that there'll be great destruction all over the world. I mean, just massive destruction. This is when continents come up and down. This is when mountain ranges are formed. This is huge. And if this really does happen. But at the same time as that cycle is ending, the other cycle is ending, a new cycle is beginning. And that cycle is tied primarily to human consciousness, according to the Mayans, which means that
the question here is that a lot of people are very fearful of the idea of pole shift and all of this dramatic change on the planet. What do you help these people? How do you help them to understand this process so they don't go into fear, they go into trust and anticipation?
The Mayans actually want to speak globally, and we're setting that up for them now so that they can tell us about that, because that is the most important thing they want to tell us, is how to be during these changes. Because they say there is a certain way that a human being can be, a certain vibration within yourself, and if you learn how to do that, you're not touched by any of the physical things that go on. It puts you in direct connection to the heart of the Earth and the heart of the Sun. And when you do that, there's no reason for any fear at all. You will not be harmed. And your consciousness, the way you perceive the world and what you think it is going to completely change. You're going to perceive this one reality and in a whole different way. It's not even going to be visually the same, according to the Mayans. And so this is the main message that they want out to the world, is how to be during this time. It's very simple. It's not difficult. Anybody can do it. But you have to know. Like they talk about a period of time that we will go into darkness. And they said the last time, 13,000 years ago, at the other end of the precession of the equinoxes, there was a physical pole shift, and science knows this. And at that time, there's a period of darkness that happened, and he said millions and millions of people died simply because they didn't know how to be. If they would have known how to be, they would And so that's what the Mayan nation, and they've looked me right in the eyes when they said this, is that we want to tell the world what to do so they will not have to worry about the changes that are coming. And that will be presented to the world probably before the end of 2010, and maybe sooner.
And how will that be presented? Will there be the 60 people that you brought into the picture, will they be spokespeople for this group of elders?
It will be this group of elders, yeah. There are other group of Mayan elders that I work with, but this particular one is the most powerful one, and they are the ones that say that they want to tell us about this. But they're not ready yet. They're still waiting for a little bit longer. But
why?
I don't know. I can't tell you that. I don't know why they're waiting, but they are. And
perhaps they're just, you know, they're working with Earth energies, waiting to see how people progress in this interim.
They every move that they make is based on the calendar. Everything is there. They can see exactly when they're supposed to do something, when they're not supposed to do it. And so watching how they work, I don't ask too many questions on that level. I just know that whenever they're ready, they're going to do it, and before that, they won't. But I know that they're preparing to, because they've told me this. And so I've also prepared. I've now set up a worldwide global television system of over 40 countries that will be ready later this month, and at any time when they're ready, they will be able to go into a certain studio and be able to talk to almost every country in the world.
And how can people tune into that? Is it through your website?
Well, my website will talk about this when it happens. My website is One Lotus, www.onelotus.net. OneLotus.net. L-O-T-U-S.
You don't have the Spirit of Mott site anymore?
I do, but that's a separate site.
Okay.
This
so
may or may not be on there.
www.onelotus.net.
Yes. And, but I would like to talk a little bit about what they say about the new cycle, because this is exciting. The whole world.
Yes, I would love to hear you talk about that.
Well, the whole world is focused on the bad side of the cycle, the end of the old cycle, which they say every time it comes to here, the old way of being dies. It just goes away. That they're saying that all the financial systems, the governments, everything is going to dissolve away. But they
say everything that happened.
Everything that we now know just about. But they talk about how a new way of perceiving appears, and that we begin to change in ways that right now we could hardly imagine, really, is what they're saying. And that there will be, for one thing, they say that the rest of the universe, all the life forms that are here, and it's just unending other life forms that we're not aware of at this time, that we will actually be able to communicate with them clearly, and they will come here. Many of them will come here. And that there an exchange begins to happen between the extraterrestrials and the humans for the first time in a very long time. And that later...
That's so important, and I think, I have to say that I always go to this discussion because I do feel it's very imminent. And the idea that human beings can start to understand that we are not orphans in this great universe is so much a part of what I can perceive as a galactic shift in consciousness when we finally can get past this secret and open communication.
Yeah, I agree. We have this idea that there's like a war going on in the galaxy or beyond. And there really isn't. The galaxy is billions of years old, and it has formed itself into a body very similar to our human body. There are regions that are the liver, that are the heart, and the brain, and everything else. And that they all work together. It's all based on love, the whole arrangement. And there are tiny little places that are evolving that are causing problems because they're children, and they don't know, they don't understand what really is. But the truth is that life is here. There are, at this moment, though this is hard to prove, but I know it's true, there are over 250,000 cultures that are physically here on Earth that are watching and waiting for us to make this evolutionary jump that's going to happen very, very soon. And as soon as we move into the next level of consciousness where we can perceive things differently, we will see them. They will be here. And life is going to, I was just in Colombia just a few months ago, and I was living with the Kogi and the Arhuacos, which is another tribe connected to the Mayans. Actually, they're more important. They're older. They're called the Elder Brothers from the Mayans. And when I was talking to them, they talk about how there are 9 worlds, and that we are heading into the 5th world. Now, this is what the Hopi and all the Native Americans in the United States, they all believe are going from the 4th world to the 5th world. And so I was sitting there with all these elders, and I said, well, that means that we're going to the 5th world, and eventually we'll get to the 9th world, the highest world. And they looked at me, and they said, Drumulo, you don't understand. The 5th world, now, how did they say it? They said, everything is about balance in life. And the 5th world is in the middle. There are 4 worlds on either side. And the 5th world is the most balanced of all worlds. And so it is the highest world. And that's what we are about to enter into. And so this is a huge blessing that's about to happen to humanity. It's huge. And there's no reason for fear. Not any. We're going to ride this. It's going to be amazing, I'm sure, because there's a lot of things I know that are going to happen. But we don't have to be afraid of anything. We may see destruction happening around us because of the Earth. It's natural destruction. It's Mother Earth moving her body around and realigning.
Well, it's also man-made destruction. Let's not ignore the fact that we cannot seem to survive without creating war somewhere on the planet. It's just, as one of my guests said, it's just what humans do. We need to stop doing that.
But that's the old cycle. That's the cycle.
That
part of it is going to die. It's going to go away.
And I'd like to just a comment here that so many people are so fearful of this change. And I always say to them, you know, what is it about the way we've done things that you're not willing to let go of? Take a look at what humanity has done in the last few years, and quite honestly, what are you clinging to?
Well,
let's look ahead to what we are capable of doing and not looking back at what we're afraid of letting go of. Let's let it go already.
Well, we are very much like a butterfly right now. I mean, you know, when you're still in the cocoon, and that's we're in that same position. We're in the cocoon right now, and we're about ready to watch everything that we know disappear and something brand new appear that at this imagine it.
I get the goosebumps here.
And so it's huge. It's beautiful. And the Mayans they're excited to tell us about all of this, what's going on.
Oh, and I can't wait for that moment when they finally have that moment where they come out of their secret places
and
share
their
wisdom with all of humankind.
I'll tell you one thing is that they say that the date of December 21st, 2012, that when this change takes place, is almost certainly not going to happen on that day.
That's what I've been telling people too, is get past the date, because people are fixating on this date. So what are we going to do? The date is going to come and go, and there's going to be a sigh of relief from some and a sense of disappointment from others. So I think it's really important to get past that finite linear thinking.
Well, they actually think it's going to happen. They believe it's going to happen before that date.
Okay, when you say it,
there's way too much information that I could possibly put in here in the length of time we're on. But
we just have to have you on again.
The first beginning of all of this begins with a pole shift, according to them. And now I'll just tell you really quickly a little bit. A pole shift is always, always preceded by a magnetic pole shift and by magnetic disturbances that take place. And we know this very clearly from the last time, 13,000 years ago, when we were at the other end, there was a pole shift, and exactly where we are right now, precisely where we are right now, 26,000 years ago, there was another pole shift. And before
and we're seeing a huge shift in the magnetosphere, right?
Yeah, it was. Well, yeah, the magnetic poles actually shift before the physical poles shift, and and our magnetics had been dropping for 2,000 years, and 500 years ago they began to drop dramatically, and about 40, 45 years ago, the anomalies, the magnetic field anomalies, became so great that they had to change all the aeronautical maps of the entire world. That was done in about the mid-90s or so. And now, before they land a big jetliner on there, they have to check every single second to make sure that the magnetic field is even there where they think it is. Otherwise, they'll land out in a field somewhere. And so...
Hold it. That is some serious astrophysics that I'd like to elaborate a minute on, especially since I'm going to be on a plane tomorrow.
Yeah. Well,
can you run that by us just again, because that's pretty interesting information.
The magnetic poles are changing every minute. They're not staying in one place. In fact, a few years ago, they went off the coast of California for 24 hours. And they are not steady anymore, and they haven't been steady for a long time. This is the reason why the whales have been beaching themselves for years, because they have been following those lines along the coast. And now those lines have turned and went into the land. And they're just following the lines, and they go into land now. And the birds that have been migrating all over the world that are suddenly ending up in places that no one's ever seen before, because they're doing the same thing. They're following these magnetic lines, and they aren't the same as they were 100 years ago. They're now moving to new locations.
Right. So are you suggesting that a pilot flying a plane is aware of this fact when every time he flies a jet?
He doesn't think about it. In the control room, they have an automatic program that is constantly watching the magnetic lines. And if they change, because when they change in a second or two. They're not there anymore. They're somewhere else. And so the program has to constantly observe this thing and make changes automatically, so that they can land properly. There's no more problems on that anymore.
And it's so significant to people who think of the Earth as a static, guaranteed reality.
Not anymore.
To think that in a nanosecond, the magnetic Earth, magnetic fields of the Earth can completely zip out into another dimension.
Well, there was
another direction.
Nova placed a show on in 2003. With geophysicists that were studying all of this stuff, and they said that at that time that the magnetic anomalies on Earth were so great that they believed that there would be a magnetic pole shift on the Earth that in the next 25 years, and that it would be a reversal. The North would become the South would become the North. And then in about a year and a half ago, these same scientists went on the Internet for 11 days, and they were saying, wow, this is getting a lot worse. This thing could happen maybe sooner, but they didn't. And then the government shut them down. They wouldn't let them talk about it. And only about 9 months ago, they came on. They got 5 days of talking before the government shut them down. And they said that this is way worse than we ever dreamed of. We now believe that this pole reversal is going to happen any minute. And this is exactly what the Mayans are saying right now, that the pole shift can happen any minute. And when it does happen, it's completely done in 20 hours. You wake up one morning, and the Earth shakes like you can't believe. It stops 20 hours later, and now you are physically in a different location on Earth relative to the equator.
I love it. Bring it on. I have no fear. I think it's so amazing that so many of us really have come in to be part of this experience, and there are a lot of old Atlanteans around and Lemurians.
Come on, this is not governments. This is God doing this. This is nature.
That's it.
And you know, you got to go with it. This is the way it is. And
it's so exciting if you can get out of that fear of so many people. Of course, the fear is generated by so many aspects of control mechanisms on the planet. But if you can get past that fear of change and disruption and think, you know, what would it be like? What will it be like?
Part of the problem
be involved in something so galactic, so immense.
Yeah, that's pretty big. Part of the problem is that
Did I interrupt you? Were you finishing a thought?
Well, there was one thing that's kind of important, and that is that the whole world has been looking at the Mayan calendar, and they've been telling us what it means and what it says. Don Alejandro sat in a room with me, looking me in the eyeballs, and said that everything that the world has said about the Mayans, everything we have read, everything that's on the newspapers and it's in the magazines and on the television and everything else, they didn't say it. It was said by archaeologists, by professors, by governments, by religions, all kinds of people. But he says the Mayans have not said one word in 527 years.
It's true. We've got interpreters.
Yeah, it's all but, and he says they don't understand what they're talking about. And so for the first time, they're giving me the authority to write another book, which will be on exactly what they're saying, not what somebody else is saying, and that book will be followed by them personally coming in and saying everything themselves.
Is there a timing? Of course, you said everything is time. So what is the timing on that again?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I'm just moving as fast as I can.
Yeah, I hear you.
You want to hear it?
It's very intense here, trying to do all of the work that Spirit calls you to do, and hold on to reality while you're out there working on so many dimensional levels. But it is a great honor for you, I'm sure, to be the one who is going to be able to open that portal for them into the opening. But what I mean is, preparing the groundwork for and opening that door for them to be able to address humankind. It's a big deal.
Yeah, I think so.
I do too, and I'm so delighted for you and for them and for us.
There's one
now,
more little...
What I wanted to ask you was, how does this tie in with the magnetosphere and the shifting? How does this tie in with what your book is talking about, the serpent of light?
Well, they're related. The Kundalini of the Earth, that's it's seemingly different subject, but it's also tied to the same cycles that the pole shift and all these other things they're talking about. This is, again, a subject not many people know, but the Earth is an exact replica of the human body, or the other way around. The human body is an exact replica of the Earth. And a human being can have a Kundalini experience. It's an energy that comes from the base of the spine. It's very much like a sexual orgasm, but it's coming up a different channel. It's the same energy coming up a different channel. And when that comes up, it's called the Kundalini, and it has a different purpose than coming up the other channel, which is to reproduce. This other channel it activates a person's desire to find God. This, in real simple terms, that's really what it does. Once you have a Kundalini experience, you don't have a choice. You have to keep searching. And so, but the Earth also has a Kundalini, and it comes from the very center of the Earth, which is like our base chakra, and it goes up to the surface of the Earth. And it's tied to these same cycles that we've been talking about. 13,000 years ago, it moved into western Tibet, way up high in the mountains up there. And a huge white pyramid was built over the top of where it is, even though there's never, ever been humankind living there. And that pyramid, the Kundalini, as it comes out of the earth, it has a very wide circle. It reaches all of Tibet and India and China and Nepal, and it causes people that live there for their Kundalinis to rise, and they become teachers of the world. Well, that Kundalini
pyramid that you talk about at length in the book is an actual physical. I mean, I've been to Tibet twice. I had no knowledge of this white pyramid. Is it way, way up in the Himalayas?
It is. Yes, there's been two expeditions to it One of them made it right to the edge where they could see it, but they couldn't go down into it because they ran out of food. And then the second one actually went into it and entered into the pyramid and photographed it and recorded it for Earth. It's now fact. And it's huge.
Where can one see these photographs?
I don't know. They actually they came to me to my house because and showed me all the photographs and everything because there's no writing. They said the pyramid looked like it was built yesterday and that there was no writing on the pyramid anywhere, but there was a door open, an entryway in, and there was no writing on the walls, there was no images or nothing, but in the middle was another huge pyramid, and on the northern face of that wall was only one thing, and that was the Flower of Life, the 19 circles that I've been working with that came out of Egypt. And so at that time I was teaching that, and they came to my house and said, we just want to know what that image is. What does it mean? Because they were trying to figure out who built the pyramid. And so it's a, but that Kundalini that was linked there has now moved to the northern mountains of the Andes in Chile. And that's what that first book is about, The Serpent of Light, is the movement of that energy and the thousands of indigenous tribes that were involved doing ceremony to which are part of this movement. And it's still there. There's 112 tribes sitting in a circle right now in the northern mountains of India, circling this spot where the Kundalini is in there. They know how important it is because that is the awakening. Because what we are about to find is that there's going to be teachers coming out of South America now, just like we've seen the Dalai Lama and all these coming out of Tibet. Now that light's been moved there. In fact, the Dalai Lama just went to the president of Chile and asked permission for himself and about 10,000 other Tibetans to move to Chile because he knows that's where the energy is now. It's where the consciousness is. But what's so interesting is that every time the Kundalini moves, a brand new spiritual awareness is taught. We think things are fixed in stone and that everything is classical and will never change. But there are things that do change, and they change according to the cycles of time, just like an unfolding DNA. And so we're going to hear ideas and concepts and words coming out of South America that we have never thought of before. It'll also be coming out of the Pacific because it's aimed over the Pacific, and the original Lemurians, the Polynesian world, from New Zealand all the way to Easter Island, there's going to be teachers coming out of there also that will be giving a different kind of teaching, but coming from there. This hasn't happened yet. It will happen very soon. So we live in amazing times, absolutely amazing. And just to be alive here on Earth is a blessing beyond it. It's just incredible that we have been chosen to be here during this extraordinary time of change. Again, this is nothing to be afraid of. This is an honor to be alive here and to be able to experience these kinds of changes that are about to take place, because they don't happen very often. And this one doesn't happen hardly ever. This particular one, this is what they're all telling me, is that this one's different than 13,000 years ago or 26,000 years ago. This one is connected to an even longer cycle, a much, much longer cycle, which they say is the longest cycle in existence. And it's coming to an end right at the same time. And there's going to be changes in ways that are even beyond what the Mayans and the Kogi and the Waitaha and the Maori and all these people and the Aboriginals in Australia and the Zulu in Africa and the Hopi, all these people are talking about the same thing. But there are changes coming that are even greater than that, followed directly behind this. I don't know what to say. It's amazing what's about to occur, of course, if this is true. We'll soon find out. Hello? Are you there? Hello? There is something that I think the audience might find pretty interesting, and that is that in the Mayan prophecy, they talk about something when we get to the end of these cycles, a period of time called the end of time. And it's a window of time around December 21st, 2012. It's about 7 or 8 years long, and it extends on either side. And that end of time was started with a cosmic event that occurred just recently. On October 24th, 2007, or was it 2008? Yeah, 2007. There was a comet that came into the solar system, and it was called Comet Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S. And that comet was no big deal to astronomers. It was just another comet coming into the system. But when it got near the sun, it blew up. It exploded, and it became a sphere of light. And it kept expanding and expanding until it became this huge, massive, perfect sphere of blue light in the sky. And it actually became larger than the sun. It's now recorded as the largest object ever recorded in history. And that was prophesied by the Hopi 200 years ago. It's called the Blue Star Prophecy. And it's now been recorded by the Hopi as this is the Blue Star Prophecy. And it's been accepted by tribes all over the world as the beginning day of the end of time. And so at this moment, we are now, the entire world is now inside of this window called the end of time. And this is where all these changes they're talking about are going to happen. So they don't all happen on that day. They happen over a long period of time that could be all the way up until about 2015. So, in terms of when all these things occur, I don't know. Patricia, are you back there? Stella back there?
I do apologize. We're trying to get her. I'm enwrapped with your story, too. I'm sure our audience is.
Okay.
We are having trouble reaching her, but please go on. I'm just stunned. I've seen the new crop circles, some of the new field reports, and some of the interesting calls I get being, you know, pretty central to information now, especially at the new age. And I must say, all the reports are pretty much agreeing with you. I'm stunned, and I am thrilled to be here. And I just want to keep listening. Thank you. Keep going.
Okay. Well, talking about crop circles, Colin Andrews, which is one of the primary and one of the oldest researchers around, Busty Taylor's probably a little older, he just emailed me a few days ago, and there is a new type of crop circle emerging for the first time on Earth. This one was first put out a few days ago, maybe a couple weeks ago or so, and then whoever made it came back and added to it a second time. And then they came back a third time and added to it again. And if you go onto Colin Andrews' website, you can see this and you can see what they're doing. But they've never seen they don't even know what it is yet. But it is different. It almost looks like language in a way, but this is new, and it's new to him too. He said he's never seen anything like this. Crop circles are a big deal. Clearly, according to Colin Andrews, over 80 to 85% of all the crop circles that are being formed in the world are man-made. They're fakes. They're not real. And we know that. And it's really easy to tell a living crop circle from a man-made crop circle. Because the living ones are, the crops are bent in place. They are not broken. There's a 45-degree turn. And they do not die. They keep living. And so you can tell a living one from a man-made one, because when the men push them down, they break them and they die. And so somebody is making these crop circles. I have my ideas about who it is, and I've done a lot of study on it in my life. But we can't stop looking at them, especially the living circles, to try to understand what it is that they're saying. Because if it's true from what I've learned, who's actually doing this is us, not humankind on this level, but the ascended masters. They are the primary people, with a small percentage of ETs also involved. According to them, about 10%. So this is another part of this. This is not separate from everything we've been talking about. There are all kinds of subjects all around the world, lots of them, that are associated with all of this, because we are now in a time of just a massive change. And the change has been going on. You know, it started about 100 years ago. And it is nothing, it didn't just turn on and there it was. It's been slowly changing. We are no longer who we were 100 years ago. You look back 100 years ago and the ideas of going to the moon and going into space is just unheard of. We couldn't even hardly imagine such a thing. And now we're not only ETs ourselves and moving around in UFOs ourselves, but we are changing in ways that with understanding, with knowledge that is emerging to us from all over. We think it's coming from us, but it's coming from all over the universe. And this is a time of incredible expansion. And I don't know where to keep going with all of this, because there are many different relationships in all of this. But the Mayans really do understand this, though I will say in their defense of all of this that they have said that they have lost a great deal of their information and knowledge because of the conquistadors. When they came in 500 years ago, they destroyed over 90% of all of their writings and their works and everything. So what they're doing now is reconstructing their knowledge in two ways. One of them has to do with the brain, where they are have elected 25 of the Mayan people to rewrite everything, not the way that we, the white man or black man, has thought it up, or technological man, but the way that they think that they're doing it. But they're also doing it in another way that is hard for us to understand. It has to do with the crystal skulls. The there are 13 crystal skulls that the Mayans have created over time, over the last 13,000 years since the last pole shift, where they were at that time in Atlantis. And the Mayans say to me directly, they came from Atlantis. And they actually have created these 13 skulls once every 1,000 years. They make one of these skulls. And these skulls hold the knowledge of the last 1,000 years that was in there. They put it in there very much like a computer. I mean, our computers are made of silicon. And it is only crystals that make computers work. Without crystals, they would not exist. And the crystal skulls are made of crystal. It's silicon, same thing. And it'll hold memory in a similar way. This was discovered at Bell Labs. This was scientifically discovered that crystals can do this all by themselves. And so this is not outside of science at all. And so all this memory now of the last 13,000 years is now coming into the Mayan nation in a download from these crystal skulls through very specific ceremonies into 13 particular modern-day Mayan people who are shamans. And that information will then be blended with the intellectual information of these other 25 people, which will reconstruct the knowledge that the Mayans lost to the conquistadors. This is what they're in the middle of doing right now. And that's what we're waiting for, is for them to finish that. And when they do, then we will be able to hear information that has long been lost. I can hardly wait. It's got to be amazing. And so I don't know, Patricia, you're still gone.
Well, thank you. What an fabulous interview. Actually, Patricia, I was not able to reach her. I kept trying quite a bit, but eventually I gave up. We're coming to the end of the hour. Anyways, I so enjoyed tuning in and listening to your program. And I really thank you very much for being a part of BBS Radio today.
Thank you for asking me.
Well, thank you. And I'll let your audience know that we'll be speaking with Patricia. This will be posted on our, hopefully, on our headline page after today. We'll try to get something up there so that people can go and read a little bit more about you and tune into what you were saying. I found it fascinating. I'm just truly grateful again. And
if they want to go into great detail in this, go on to onelotus.net.
Lotus.net. How do you spell that?
One, O-N-E, Lotus, L-O-T-U-S.
Okay.
.net. And on there, they can sign up for a webcast program, which we will be 2 hours long. It's going to be broadcast on television also. But in there, we are going to go into great detail on this and actually be able to show you videos and footage of this, and you will even be able to buy a DVD looking at the Mayans do their ceremony and how they construct it and all these kinds of things.
Oh, wow.
So, if you're interested.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely fantastic. Thank you for letting us know.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, and I know you have to leave. It's 1 o'clock, and
Well, I'm just starting the day, but my friend, again, thank you, and happy Independence Day this weekend. Enjoy the weekend coming up, and blessings.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, folks, you've been listening to Beyond the Matrix. I'm Don Newsom. Patricia Corey, we lost her signal. She's having some storms in the area. It is Italy, of course. We are patching them in through digital lines, so sometimes things go a little awry. It is Internet Radio, folks. We love to be here. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week on Beyond the Matrix.